I'm going to read a list, and as I go through this list, we have to consider which of these things we would be prepared to share with others, bearing in mind we may not even know them. A newspaper, a packet of crisps, a can of Coke. I guess that might be dependent on who's drunk from it first. A table at the pub, lunch, a coat, a car, a holiday, a house, our bank account. Now, when I read that list this morning at Silso, there was a little bit of kind of umming and affirmation as we began the list, and as it got a little bit more serious, a little bit more exacting, it went very quiet. Because there's a scale of commitment and sacrifice as that list deepens. And as we consider the holy habit of sharing God's resources that he's blessed us with, we need to consider what our role is in that. Now, there's good reason to share, because sadly we live in a world of inequality. Despite the fact we are the sixth richest nation in the world, we see it on our own doorsteps. And of course we see it wider afield as well. When we share resources, we build relationships. When we share resources, we create community. One of the things that people often talk about coming into rural areas is we're seeking a community. And actually, the way that we trust one another and share things builds that up. But of course, at the heart of sharing, there's God's love. God gives his very life for us in Christ. It's at the heart of the Christian gospel, and we are invited to respond. John, writing in chapter 15 of his gospel, said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends," as he recorded Jesus' words. And here today we have two passages of scripture that give us guidance, tough guidance, on how tight our hold is on resources, on stuff. This passage from Isaiah was very much an invitation to God's people to live in a certain way. It wasn't about literal fasting, but true fasting. True fasting meaning to simply forget about ourselves in caring for others. So it says something about our priorities. To be God's people means to look outside ourselves. And the family here is for all. It's a very important point that we are called to care for one another. The sharing expresses our faith or not. It's a holy habit in terms of how we treat others and how we speak of others. And intriguingly, Isaiah sort of repeats the invitation, repeats these commands to us, just in case we've missed them. There's a strong call to fight injustice, wherever that might be found. Maybe you're a member of Amnesty International or a Christian organisation that addresses persecution of Christians around the world, like Open Doors or the Barnabas Trust. Sharing food with the hungry. It is ironic, isn't it? The growth of food banks within our own society. And we pray one day that would not be the case. Shelter for the poor. Probably that is when we see a global disaster and our immediate response to make sure that aid gets in the right place so people can have some protection. We don't have to clothe the naked in our culture very often, but there's certainly something about recycling and making sure that we don't throw things away that others could use. And I think one of the great blessings of modern years has been charity shops, and the fact that people don't necessarily buy new. Charity begins where it is needed. But there's no doubt that when we share, we can think we've lost something, we've given something away that we're not going to get back. But intriguingly, there's a sense that ongoingly hear as we bless others, we ourselves are blessed. That's not only in the Isaiah passage, but it's also in that multiplication that we see in Matthew's challenging parable. We don't give to accumulate, but there's something here in the paradox that we are blessed as we deny ourselves. We receive as we give. And the words, certainly for me, echo down in history from Jim Elliot, an American mission partner who was murdered by the Alca Indians in Ecuador in the 1950s, who said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep, his very life, to gain what he cannot lose." What are we investing in? How are we sharing with others? What is key, though, here is Matthew's parable speaks of the fact that inertia is not an option. The story of this parable, the talent refers to a gold bar. It was equivalent to 15 years of a labourer's salary. So you're looking at £400,000 to £500,000. Now, actually, it's not to do with the gross amount. It's to do with what we do with it. Because faithfulness and action here by certainly two of the servants leads to multiplication. But fear and lethargy, doing nothing, leads to condemnation by the master. The one talent servant, and we can feel a bit sorry for him. It's not that he didn't do anything wrong, because he didn't do anything wrong, but he didn't do anything right. He didn't do anything. He even accuses the master of being a hard man. There's no evidence of that at all. And of course, if we take the master as a God figure, we know that God is not like that. So it's not about the size of our resources or how many gold bars we have, but it's how we use them. So are we seeking security in our resources or service in our Christian lives? There's no doubt that sharing resources may feel we're losing out. But ultimately, whose are the bricks, the bread, the bank accounts? Are they ours? Or are they God's? And when I ask myself the question, how much do I need to feel safe and secure before I bless others? The answer is always a small voice in my head saying, a little bit more. Yet I stand before you as one of the wealthiest people in the world, purely because of where I was born, educated and grew up, and what I do now. But this week, there's been some glorious examples of small and beautiful ways that resources are shared. I'm about to say something that I've rarely said before. I ate the best vegetarian meal I ever had in my life on Wednesday night at Alpha. The trouble was, so did everybody else. They all had seconds and there was no leftovers. It was a fantastic moussaka. People brought cakes at the PCC. Biscuits were bought. Flowers. On Friday night, it got very posh. I was given smoked salmon and a bottle of Cremant. Yes, who knows what might happen next? But this week, I've had a number of conversations and emails with people who are in need. A Tanzanian pastor who needs some resources. Resourcing a Bible conference that I'll be running there in August. Education for a Zimbabwean family. There are needs everywhere, we know that. But my sense is that passages time and time again in Scripture like this are inviting us to personally and corporately, as God's people, the church, to assess how we share resources. It's not just, though, the financial tangibles, because we can often put a price on things. For me, probably one of the most valuable things in my life is my time. I always feel it's not enough. But maybe I need to bless others with more of my time, to share more of me, to not be looking at my watch wondering what I can do next. Skills, prayer. But what we're invited into is developing a habit, and habits mean we've got to keep trying until it becomes part and parcel of our life. A habit of generosity, a habit of sharing. And I don't doubt that for each of us here, We've got a unique series of opportunities and a unique set of resources that we could bless others with. What might that be? I don't know. But God does. And he'd love you to work with him to bless others. Let's pray. Father, in these passages, we consider your invitation for us to follow you, to perhaps lay down some things. Give us the grace and confidence to trust you in that journey. And may we be people who bless others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.